This evening, our responsorial psalm was the 116th psalm. And it asks a question. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? What an amazing question to ask on this night. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? First, I think we have to remember what the Psalms are. The Psalms are Israel's prayer book. So they reflected the history of the Jewish people. They reflected their relationship with God. So it's them asking this question, how can I make a return to the Lord for calling us to be his chosen people? For the gift of the patriarchs like Abraham and Jacob and Moses, how can they make a return to the Lord for the Passover, which we heard about in tonight's first reading, when the Lord, in order to free his chosen people, passed over their houses to deliver them from the power of their enemies, an occasion which our Jewish brethren still celebrate every year with great solemnity and festivity. But the question remains for all of us tonight, how shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? And the question, I think, is further complicated by the fact that we human beings so often turn our back on God who is good to us. Think about Adam and Eve and original sin, Noah and the destroying flood, the children of Israel. They too are always, it seems, unfaithful to God. In the desert, remember, they actually grumble against God and Moses. They forget that great event that God has done in the Passover and the might he shows at the Red Sea, how he delivers them from Pharaoh's power. And when they're in the desert and they get hungry, they turn against God. They forget his goodness. They say that they would rather return to Egypt and be slaves. Can you imagine that? Rather, they would return to Egypt to become a slave. So this question that we ask tonight is complicated by our own failings and faults, by the weaknesses of our humanity. So the psalmist gives an answer to the question. He says, the cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call on the name of the Lord. We make a return to the Lord for his goodness to me with the gift of our faith. God doesn't need some trinket or bauble to give that we can give to him. What God wants is the gift of ourself, because it was his very self that he gave for us. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all of the goodness he has shown to me? By giving him myself. My faith. And that's what we celebrate tonight at this Mass of the Lord's Supper. The gift that the Lord gives is the gift of his very self. And we could spend weeks going back through salvation history to see how God does this. I'll spare you the details of that tonight. But it would be a fascinating story to go back and reread the Old Testament and looking for all of those times in which God gives himself as gift. But let's take a look just for a brief second in the book of Genesis. God creates out of nothing. And then in the crowning of his creation, he creates man. And why does he create us? He creates us simply to have another intelligent creature with which to share his love. That is why we exist. Why God created us to share his love. We also see this so vividly demonstrated when in the fullness of time, in the fullness of God's plan and salvation, his word took on flesh. We call that the incarnation. When God wedded himself to man, God became man so that by the very flesh that had sinned, God could save us. God gives the gift of himself, taking on our flesh to save us. You see, my friends, the Passover of the new covenant, the Passover of Jesus, is not marked with the flesh and the blood of a lamb. It's marked by the flesh and blood of the true Lamb of God, which is poured out on the cross. God marks the doorposts of our souls with the blood of Christ. And then that very flesh and blood becomes our food in Holy Communion. St. Paul put it this way in the second reading tonight. He said, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The flesh and the blood of Jesus become our food, our substance through the desert of this life. Jesus gives himself so that we can lift up the chalice of salvation, so that we can lift up the gift of our faith, the gift of our humanity wedded to divinity by the incarnation of Jesus. And in God's eternal plan, in order to give us the gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist at every Mass, Jesus bestows the power to say, "This is my body and this is my blood," upon those whom he chooses to share in the sacramental priesthood. We, as baptized Christians, are all priests. We all offer the cup of salvation to the Lord. But Jesus also established the ministerial priesthood by which he perpetuates himself and his grace throughout time and eternity. The priesthood is yet another way in which God gives himself to us, because Jesus continues the gift of himself down through the ages. He gives us the gift of himself through the ministry of the priest, despite the unworthiness of the vessel. If we, my friends, were worthy of the grace of God, we would never get anywhere. God gives it to us, even though we are unworthy. He gives us the grace of baptism. Think about it as an infant. That infant does absolutely nothing to deserve that gift. It's a free gift. That's why it's called grace. And so the ministerial priesthood that Jesus calls men to follow in his path, in his ministry as priests through the gift of the sacrament of holy orders, despite the unworthiness of the vessel. And we are all too aware these days of the unfaithfulness and unworthiness of some priests and the bishops who enable them. But the reality, this reality has marred the gift of the priesthood so that it's no longer seen as the God's presence among us. Yet it still is. It is still that gift of Jesus down through the ages, so that when the priest says, "This is my body, this is my blood, I baptize you, I forgive you," it's Jesus speaking. I think tonight of St. John Vianney, the holy curé of ours. He said that the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. And the love of the heart of Jesus is what the priest is supposed to communicate to the world. That God continually gives the gift of himself. And that is the most wonderful gift. And it can make such a difference, all the difference in our lives. In the gospel tonight from St. John, we heard about how the Lord Jesus washed the feet of his apostles. Jesus demonstrates very visually to the apostles this giving, this self-giving of God. This act of washing the feet of the disciples is a prefiguring of the offering of the cross. The Lord offering himself for us on the cross. Jesus kneels down in humble service and washes the feet of his apostles, just as he will climb the wood of the cross to wash our sins away. Jesus says, I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. And that's our command tonight, the command of charity. That charity is yet another way that God demonstrates his love in the world, that God gives himself in the world. By following the example of Jesus and living our lives in humble service, we too become a sign, a sacrament of the love of God active in the world. So as we watch the symbolic action of the foot washing tonight, let us recall this command that the Lord has given to all of us, to make his love known in the world by being of service to our brothers and sisters. So my friends, I return back to the question with which I began. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good that he has done for me? How can we make a return to the Lord for giving us the gift of life and the gift of faith? For calling us to be his sons and daughters in the sacrament of baptism? By continually pouring out the grace of his love in the sacrament of the Eucharist? By calling on each of us to be his hands and feet in the world today? How do we do that? It's by raising grateful hearts to him, by lifting up the cup of salvation and giving him the gift of our very selves.